I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. It's your weekly session of our therapy, really, isn't
free
it?
Free therapy. Our therapy and our lovely listeners.
It is. Is it just me with your host, Joe Elvin? That's me.
And I'm James Williams. That's me.
It's the podcast where we kind of examine what's right and what's wrong in our lives.
Maybe what's wrong.
Where we get secretly judged also by a very, very super, extra super duper special guest celebrity. And this week we are honoured to have in this quiet part of London one of those people who has been so much a part of our televisual lives for, my God, it feels like forever.
In the best way.
No offence. No offence at all, lovely silent guest there. I mean, but you've seen her in everything. You've seen her in Doc Martin, Coupling, Teachers, Mr. Selfridge, Sherlock, and now, thank God, someone's finally given her own Netflix series.
Hey.
Amanda Abingdon.
Hello, Joe and James.
Hello.
Can I just say, Amanda, you are the best behaved guest ever.
Yeah,
you
thanks
barely,
for holding your breath.
You barely uttered a word.
No, I know what it's like. You know, you have to do the whole intro and then I'll come in when you tell me.
She's a pro, Joe.
I'm like a well behaved dog. Say. Sitting like that.
I've given up instructing celebrities to do that, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah.
They just pile in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's fine. There are no rules here, to be honest.
I like it.
No rules or judgment.
I love it.
How are you?
I'm all right.
I mean, how exciting, right? What's going on? I mean,
yes.
Safe is the show we've got to talk about.
Yeah, it's on now, on Netflix now, and it's brilliant. It's an 8-part drama that I did with Michael C. Hall.
Which, as I said to Joe earlier, he's pretty much a guaranteed good thing, right? Because
he
as soon as you
is.
See his name attached to it...
He doesn't pick no crap.
No.
He really doesn't, no. He's a quality actor.
Exactly.
And he's not got that whole entourage with him. He comes onto set with a dog, with his dog called Sal.
What kind of dog is it?
It's like a little kind of dachshund, sort of like... Shih Tzu cross. Ooh. It's like he's black and she's
I've got a Shih Tzu cross. Michael C. Hall and I are meant to be best friends.
Well, that's it, yeah.
And I was never a fan
number.
Of a dachshund. Yeah. I'm warming the dachshunds,
I have got
to say.
Three dachshunds.
Have you?
Yeah,
good job
three.
I said that, then. Yeah. I've warmed to them.
Yeah.
That could have
no,
been awkward.
One of them's a dick. One of them is a complete idiot. He's a puppy farm. They're all rescue dogs.
Oh.
And one of them is a little bit backward and a little bit... He's just an idiot, but I love him. You know.
Bless.
You love him because he's foolish.
I think so, there are dog people and not dog people, right?
Yeah, if you don't like dogs, I don't like you.
Yeah, same.
It is strange.
I have a real thing about people that don't like dogs. I'm like, whoa, okay, well, that's our friendship over.
I have a deep suspicion of them, too.
Me too.
So basically, then, Amanda, as soon as you knew that Michael C. Hall was involved, did you even bother reading the script?
I thought I should. I thought I should just because I wanted to see what I was doing.
Yeah.
Good idea.
But I realised that my character is just this... She's just this amazing, complex character. Gets to do loads of brilliant stuff in it that I can't say because some people might not have seen it yet. Because I knew it was written by Harlan Coben, who's this amazing American thriller writer, and Danny Brocklehurst, who's one of our finest television writers. Their collaboration, plus Michael C. Hall, plus Red Productions, run by Nikki Schindler. It just seemed like the perfect kind of... It was very serendipitous, and I thought, I can't not do this. This is amazing.
So how long ago did you actually film it?
Last year. So we were up in Manchester from, I think, May till December.
Wow.
June till December, yeah.
So quite long,
yeah.
Isn't it?
And it was great fun. The whole gang were brilliant. It was just one of those lovely jobs where you just laugh and have a good time and long hours, but you didn't care.
Now, from what I've read about it, because I haven't seen it yet, it's not a lot of lols on camera.
No, there are some lols.
Right.
There are
yeah.
some sort of farcical lols, but it's quite dark, yes, but in a very interesting edge of your seat way. Yeah,
and that must be exhausting.
Yeah, it kind of is, but actually that's, you know, that you can't moan about being an actor, because it's not like working in the nursing and, you know, NHS or being a fireman or doing literally, you know, you are very lucky. You get looked after a lot, so you can't really moan about it too much.
And also, we've talked about this a lot on the podcast, actually, but it does feel like, you know, TV's where it's at now in terms of, you know, you've almost got the budgets that they used to have on films.
Big budgets,
you know, also, you know, TV's probably quite nice for an actor, because it is, for such a sort of nomadic lifestyle normally, it's quite nice knowing you've got work from May to December.
It's lovely. Which is... It's really lovely, yeah, because, you know, acting is a precarious profession and you never know what you're going to be doing next, which is the reason why, you know, you should do it, because it's all about the excitement and stuff. But, television is just a great platform to be involved in, it's very exciting.
I want to go back to what you said about actors being well looked after. Have you ever had an experience where you've looked around, where you've been looked after in some way and thought, oh my God, am I an asshole?
I've never behaved like an asshole.
I've worked
with actors who are complete assholes. And I hate them because of the way they've treated everybody around them. And you know in the business, you know who's got a bad name. You sort of have this unspoken thing with your fellow actors and go, oh, you work with them? Oh, you work with them? Yeah, that's right. Well,
Speaking of assholes,
sorry, I'm an asshole. My phone just went off. Yeah, apologies for that, everyone.
That might be the actor I was talking about.
It's an alarm.
He's got a Google
alert
set. Have a drink, Amanda.
Yeah.
But do you know what? I think that's true also. I mean, of normal people.
Yeah.
So I would say you can always tell, especially if you're in a restaurant on a group dinner with people you don't know that well, and the way they talk to waiters or bar staff.
If you don't say please and thank you, that's another thing. You know, it's the same with the don't like dogs.
Dogs, exactly. They're same people often.
It doesn't cost anything to be nice.
Yeah.
And actually what you end up doing by being nice is you make a beautiful working atmosphere. And when you don't do that, I think when you behave like an asshole, then you deserve everything you get.
That said, the better stories are from the encounters we've had with celebrities who are horrible.
Yeah.
I get much more mileage out of
that. So do I.
Remain nameless and sadly on this podcast.
I love it. I was talking to someone today, the producer of Safe Today, and we were talking about somebody that she'd worked with, and we were both sort of saying, they're arseholes. I'm like, yes, thank you. And she told me these great stories about this actor person. So, I mean, they are well known.
It is funny because there is an element of Stockholm syndrome, I think, because often I'd come home from doing a shoot with somebody and my friends would be like, oh my God, what were they like? And I'd say, they were really nice. They said hello to everyone. They turned up on time. They're going, that's just being a nice, normal person.
Also,
I can't
job.
Believe you think that makes them.
Yeah, that's part of your job.
Yeah. That's just being a good human.
Yeah, that's not, just being decent.
Yeah.
And actually not being a twat.
But that's what happened. I was in a car with a taxi driver in America before the election. And the driver, my daughter was like mouthing off about how much she hated Donald Trump. And then the driver sort of weighed in and said, well, actually, I worked with Mr. Trump for many years. I was like, oh, God, let's hope this is a short trip.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, so, you know, what did you like about him? And he said, well, whenever I did anything for him, he said thank you.
Did he?
And that was why he was going to vote for him.
But you see, I can't believe that. I don't believe that.
He's I do, actually. I have heard that
before. Is he quite polite? It's
apparently.
One redeeming feature he has.
He's got to have one.
He says thank you.
But I like that entry-level manners is, you know, it means you're allowed to run the country.
So I'm assuming...
I'm qualified there.
I'm assuming when he says grab you by the...
Exactly.
He says thank you before or after.
Or please. Yeah. Please may
please
I.
Please may I.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
He's a charmer like that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh dear, we're already bashing Trump.
We're barely
8 minutes in.
Yeah.
But anyway, but for those who haven't seen it, Amanda, so sort of summarise what we can expect from Safe.
Okay, so it's set in a gated community in a generic part of England, and it's all about these different families. And Michael C. Hall's character, his oldest daughter, doesn't come home one night with her boyfriend. They just don't appear. They've gone to a party and then they just disappear. And so he gets the more he can't get in touch with her, the more frantic he becomes. And I play a detective sergeant who's also going out with him. And he calls me and says, look, my daughter's gone missing with her boyfriend. I don't know what to do. And then that then starts an avalanche of all this crazy mayhem of different people coming in and different stories and all these secrets that suddenly come out. And it becomes like this really tense thriller about what's happened to these kids and the reason why they've gone missing and each family is involved in some way.
Oh. And
already sounds gripping.
I know. Also, can I just say, as the resident wuss of this podcast, because Joe's a bit more hardcore, I'm a real scaredy cat.
Oh, it's
will
not,
I be able to
no,
watch
no,
it on my
yes,
own?
You can, of course.
Okay.
No, because I'm like that. I sort of think, oh, no, I'll watch The Witch, or I'll watch, you know, what's that, Annabelle?
Yeah, oh.
I thought I'd watch Annabelle Creation, but I... biggest mistake of my life.
I only say this because I watched The Alienist and our lovely friend Luke Evans was on a few weeks ago and I said to him, Luke, I'm the scaredy cat, can I watch this on my own? Yeah. He's like, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I saw him, I was like, you fucking lied to me. I was literally the worst night's sleep.
I'm
I was
now
so
shitting
tense.
Myself.
God, you're a wuss.
I am a bit wuss. It's true. But yeah. It's about...
I like horror films, but I have to watch them during the day and then know that I'm with somebody that night. Otherwise,
I'm exactly the same.
It's in the house.
Yeah.
There's something in the house.
And also, can I ask, is it then in that, is that that classic bingeable sort of show where every episode you can't stop
watching
it?
Definitely. There's a little cliffhanger on each episode and you just go, oh no, oh, have I got, yeah, I'll watch one more. And then you sort of realise that you've ended up watching six.
Oh, I can't wait. So that's, if you haven't watched it, it started on the 10th of May.
Exactly. So it's available now. The name of your sleep deprivation is Safe.
It's Safe.
And it's on Netflix right now.
Yes, it is.
Well, Amanda, you're here for other business other than that.
Yeah, let's get to more important subjects.
Well, we're here to set the world to rights.
Okay, cool.
Are you prepared? I think you were born ready.
I'm born ready.
I can tell. The opinions are almost seeping out of her fingernails.
They're
palpable, aren't
they?
I'm slightly tense.
I'm excited.
We found someone judgier than me.
I'm so judgy.
Oh, this is exciting.
This is going to be a good one.
I'm terrible. God, yeah.
Excellent.
Is it just me, or are we all just a little bit too oversensitive now in this current climate?
How dare you say that to me?
There you go.
Get out.
Very offended right now.
Yeah. Well, that's
I mean, it's a funny one, isn't it? Cause, I mean, again, we've talked about this on previous podcasts. We were talking about social media and how I've kind of lost my Twitter emoji. I think because, not emoji, my Twitter mojo. Because I just feel at the moment everyone is so prickly and so determined to misconstrue anything you say. Mm-hmm. And I do worry for this great country, which I think has such an amazing sense of humour, traditionally.
Yeah, I think so.
And I do worry that we are becoming a little bit too sensitive. I'm with you on that one. And I think I wouldn't want to be a stand-up comedian, to be honest, in the current climate. Yeah. And I think it's interesting, you know, I say this as somebody who caught, like, some old stand-up gigs, even like Sarah Millican from a few years ago. Yeah. And there were a couple of words in there, and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe she said that. Like, you know, in this day and age where, you know, you have to be far more respectful of especially the trans community and stuff like that. And I just thought, wow, I'm amazed that's not been edited out.
Yes.
But yeah, I do think, you know, the climate's changing. I think especially for comedy, it's a tricky one, I think.
It is, and my thing is that I just think when somebody says I'm offended, I'm like, great, that's fine. Be offended. That's great. You can be offended. But if I think, you know, to ignore freedom of speech and not be able to actually say... I mean, not, you know, you... It is a tricky one because, you know, to be able to say anything you want, and especially on things like on social media, there will be a huge backlash and you can be completely annihilated for it.
Yeah.
So you have to be prepared to get, you know, ripped to shreds. But at the same time, I think if we start censoring people and saying, you can't say that, you can't say that, I think we are opening ourselves up to a world of pain.
Mm. I completely agree. And I don't know. I don't really believe in being protected from opinions.
Mm. No, not at all.
And I just don't understand why we can't have debate about things and we can't hear opinions that differ from ours or that maybe are a bit insensitive, maybe are a bit hurtful.
Yeah.
How else do you address them? There's an amazing example today, I think, of oversensitivity in I can't remember which university it is, but they've taken down the portrait of Theresa May,
who
is one of their female alumni, because she's politically upsetting to some people. Now, without nailing my political colours to the mast, I just feel like there have been very few prime ministers of this country, and she's a graduate, a female graduate, who became prime minister.
Yeah, well, aside from anything, that's what she's accomplished.
Yeah, and I just don't understand why there's cheering for...
I mean, I'm not a Theresa May fan, but I think you can't... what she's done is an accomplishment, regardless of what you think of her. And I think if you start to sort of, you know, censor that, you're basically censoring history, and that's a dangerous thing.
Agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just think it's really dangerous. Like with Jermaine Greer, like a couple of years ago, she was, you know, she's been quite outspoken about stuff recently, like in the last sort of 2 years, and she wasn't allowed to speak at a university. And I thought, well, you are losing a fantastic opportunity to debate this woman who championed stuff in the 60s, who was, you know, she wrote The Female Eunuch. She was like a proper feminist in the 60s, and regardless of how stringent her views are and how crazy her views are, in your opinion, have the debate. Like you say, just have the debate.
Well, I think that's the thing. I think what we're in danger of missing is that there's a very big difference between trolls, people who literally just get off on being horrible to everybody, who don't really have any convictions and don't really care who they upset. They'll just say whatever it takes to get a reaction. Yeah. And people with strong beliefs who are open to a dialogue to convince them
that
they're wrong.
That's what it is. That's what it is. It's about being open to a dialogue.
And I think that's what we're in danger of missing. I think there are lots of people who are now just so scared of even saying anything.
And I find it as well with a lot of my male friends, with all the, you know, with the hashtag Me Too, which is you know, an amazing thing. And it's great that, you know, women need a voice. But a lot of my male friends are feeling like I don't know where my stall is now. What do I do? And you can see them kind of just feeling very unexpressed. And I think we should be able to, as you say, just have a dialogue and talk and debate. And if we don't, then it starts to get very scary.
Taking a different tack on this subject, in day-to-day life, I am actually quite oversensitive.
Oh God, me too.
No, me too. I take offence really easily, but I think, well, that's okay.
I don't know if it's even taking offence. I just
you take things to heart.
Yeah,
me too.
If I sense a vague side eye, I'll stress about that for hours.
And
all
get
day.
Really emotional.
Yeah, God, what have I done?
I'm terrible for imagining a slight where there really isn't one. You know, and I have to say, I mean, you know, I go to a therapist and I've worked on that a lot because I think I'm just predisposed to think that everybody is trying to take the piss out of me
I'm not good enough for this conversation, or I'm not good enough for this situation, so I'm just going to sort of close off. And
it says a lot about you. It's more about you than it is that person is just maybe having not the best day, or just having a laugh or a joke.
Or didn't even notice you. Exactly. That's the other thing. It's like, they're not thinking about you. That's what I have to remind myself. Yeah, because everybody has got their own shit going on.
Yeah.
And you're not the centre of everybody's universe. You're just not. You're the centre of your own.
That is. You know, if only everyone thought about us as much as we think they think about us.
I know, because we're so important, really.
But how do you tough up? It's hard, though. How do you toughen up with acting?
I mean, you have to develop a thick skin because you get a lot of rejection.
Exactly.
So you kind of just think, well, you can't take things personally.
But you also have to be an emotive, empathic person.
Absolutely. So, yeah. So it's finding that balance of going, I don't give a fuck, and at the same time going, yeah, but I'm very expressed. So
you're basically screwed either way.
Basically, you find a lot of actors have got quite narcissistic, self-absorbed. But that's fine.
That original thing about that asshole.
It's a tricky one, because I also believe that, you know, people have to be held accountable for being thoughtless.
Absolutely.
And I do think, you know, we have come a long way in lots of ways, but it is a tricky one to walk this line, I think. But ultimately, like I said, my biggest fear is it's the loss of a sense of humour. And I guess my problem is that I assume everyone gets my sense of humour. And I think a lot of people think the same thing of their own sense of humour.
Yes.
And I guess it's frustrating when you say something in a very flippant, silly way.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you know,
you're being hauled over the coals.
Literally,
and
you know, you're being accused of this, that, and God knows what else.
It's not. It's just sometimes it's just a little off the cuff remark that you make, and then it's like it's World War III, and you think, oh, what? I didn't mean it. It was a joke. I was just joking. I'm so sorry. Crazy.
But, you know, maybe we're all wrong. And if we are wrong, I'm sure our lovely listeners will let us know.
They will.
So if you would like to tell us how you feel. Don't start apologising now,
really,
Amanda.
Sorry.
Don't be mean to me.
Us. Well, you can be mean to us on email, but we prefer nice emails.
Yeah, please be nice.
Is it just me podcast at gmail.com?
Well done.
That's what I got there at the end. So let us know what you think.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right?
For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Right, now I have to preface this next Is It Just Me topic with, this has come from a lovely listener. Thank you for this. I've just started a new job, so I have to stress that it's you who suggested this topic and not me.
It's you, Jordan, not Joe.
Is it just Jordan who hates socialising with colleagues outside of work?
Wow. Well, look, I'm going to start this by saying I've got your back, Jordan, because she actually emailed in to say that she hates her birthday too, so she's already a friend of mine.
Why does she hate her birthday?
Well, I said something on a previous show that I just find it, I'm just very much, yeah. I don't like that centre of attention. I'm not a wallflower.
We haven't got time
to go with my birthday neuroses again. Okay, but anyway, Jordan, you got my back, so I'm going to have yours.
Okay.
So, I have to say, though, I've been very fortunate, and I'd be interested to know what you think as an actor, because you've worked with lots of different jobs, lots of people. But, you know, I've pretty much, every job I've worked, I've taken a group of friends with me. Mm. So, to be honest, I think part and parcel of my line of work is always about socialising. And I hate to say that terrible word we've talked about, but it's become quite unfashionable, but networking. You know, you often encourage as a journalist, won't you, to go out and socialise, because you never know when it's going to lead to the next opportunity.
Same
that's right.
So I've always been, I guess, somebody that, like I said, made friends at work and kept friends from all my jobs. So, but at the same time, we've all worked with that really annoying person. You can't imagine anything worse than being stuck in the bar with them.
This might be the time to point out that when I was James's boss not that long ago, I found out after we all left Glamour that they all had a favourite pie shop. I didn't know about.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
It was actually a pie pub.
That's interesting, James, isn't it?
We got over that.
About being oversensitive. But that's the thing. It's like the flip side is I actually ran into a new colleague on the train this morning, and she didn't see me, and I saw her, and I thought, nah, she didn't want to. No one wants to talk to the boss when they're not even at work yet, you know? So there's that flip side. It's I do like socialising with people, and I feel like we haven't yet had time in my job to have a bit of a bonding session. Yeah. But I'm also aware that no one really wants... I mean, I'm the one they want to bitch about, right? Do you know what I mean? I'm the boss. No one really wants you hanging out with them all the time when you are the boss.
I guess.
I think as well, I have friends as well, I think. And we talked about this before, I guess. You know, some careers, you know, your social life and your professional life tend to blur.
Yeah.
Whereas I've got lots of friends who I always say do proper jobs.
Yes.
quite hardcore jobs, quite full-on jobs. And I understand that they work hard. So what they don't want then is a busman social life. You know, they want to get away from work.
Yes.
So I do totally appreciate that. And I guess it depends on what you do for a living as to how social you want to be.
Who's your boss when you're at work?
It depends on who the producer and the director is.
Yeah.
So whatever job you're doing, the production company that you're working for, they become your boss for that finite amount of time that you're working for them. So, you know, it's the same thing. You know, you find the people that you get on with. And you gel with, and then you become friends with them, and then you take them off. And you know, I've got friends that I've worked with 20 years ago that are still my best friends, and I've made some beautiful friends on Safe. And you kind of do, I think you gravitate to people who are similar to you. Mm. So there are people that on Safe that I met that I was like, we're going to be mates. You know, we're going to be friends for a long, long time. And there were others that I thought, oh, this is lovely. You know, we're colleagues, but won't go any further than this. Mm. I think you kind of know it's the same sense of humour that you have, and it's the same. Well, it's the ease of which you can be with somebody without having to go, hi, should we talk, because it's an awkward silence.
Well, it's like dating romantically, isn't it? Yeah. They always say you pretty much decide within the first 30 seconds if it's going to go anywhere. Yeah. And I genuinely think some of the best friends you make are people you just get that instant rapport with.
Totally.
But don't get me wrong, there are some people that have kind of grown on me and snuck up on the inside. I'm not saying it has to be that way, but generally speaking, you have that instant, almost like chemical reaction.
Yeah, you go, oh great, you're on my wavelength, we don't have to worry.
I think it depends if you, just going back to Jordan's original thing, if you like your job or not.
Yeah.
Mm. If you really don't like your job, it's just impossible to associate any fun with an outside. Yeah. It's all about just getting away.
Yeah, 9 to 5, so, go home.
But then sometimes I would argue, if you're in a shit job you don't enjoy it, maybe you do need a wingman or woman to go out and then they become the fun person you hang out with and somebody you at least look forward to seeing at work.
Yeah, I suppose.
Playing devil's advocate, maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I've never really done a 9 to 5 job. So I don't know that. I don't know that kind of being in an office kind of mentality. I've been very fortunate that I've, you know, I've been like a little
it's arranged marriages all over the place. It really is. Yeah.
I mean, you have to. The thing is, you have to get on. You know, I guess you have to make it as bearable as possible.
Well, especially I think when you're doing like romantic scenes as an actor. Mm. I mean, I can't imagine if you actually did not like the person.
I've done that before.
Have you?
Years ago.
I mean, you're clearly a very good actress.
Yeah, I really had to dig deep. You know, because it wasn't easy. It was just I didn't like them, and luckily it was just like one scene where I had to kiss this guy, and I hated it. I just hated it.
I always find it interesting. They never even give you time to warm up, do they? Normally it's the first scene.
Yeah, it's usually first thing in the morning, and you just think, we're just going to do this kissing.
What do you do? Do you just pretend it's someone else? Or?
Well, so, no, because also you're surrounded by loads of cast and crew watching you like that.
Yeah,
really sexy. Know,
yeah. Picking their nose,
yeah,
their
and like moving in with a camera. Yeah. So it's never sexy or romantic, as it, you know, it shouldn't be, because if you've got partners and stuff, it should, you know, but it's not pleasant. It's never a pleasant experience. Mm. It's okay sometimes, and if you're working with somebody that you get on with, it can be funny. You know, like I had to kiss Michael in this series, and we just, you know, he's married, I've got a boyfriend, but we just made it, you know, we just laughed about it, because that's how you get through it, because it is quite an intimate thing that you have to do, and you just have to just go, well, we're doing it, so let's just do it, and then...
Yeah, weirdly, I think it must be more weird doing a romantic scene with a friend than it would be with someone you didn't like.
Yeah. Yes. I've had to do that with a friend before when I did a show years ago, and we were mates, and it was just like, oh God, it's like kissing my brother. Yeah. It's just so weird.
I just could never be an actor because I'd be so self-conscious about anyone thinking, oh, so that's the face she pulls when she fancies someone. Yeah.
Especially sex scenes as well. So, but you're basically, you know, it's very difficult to kind of not act how you would be.
Yeah. You're drawing on life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Unless you kind of watch a lot of porn and then you can just like draw from that. But generally, you're doing what you would normally be doing, I guess, if you're actually doing it.
Yeah.
So it's a minefield.
Yeah. So where are we going to leave Jordan on this one? Jordan, I think for a drink with somebody.
Yes. Maybe don't snog anyone at
work.
Like.
Yeah, don't snog anyone. Really fancy them.
Anyway, Jordan, as you know, I'm a big fan of you because you don't like your birthday. So you could do no wrong in my eyes.
I'm worried about Jordan not liking a birthday.
Oh, no, don't worry. We'll sit together in some bar, be miserable at our birthdays together.
James has no friends and hates his birthday. So Jordan, email him. Go for a drink.
You could be like work colleagues in a way.
Well, obviously, we're ending on a very serious, profound
note.
Absolutely, as you know. We're not scared to go there on this
Question
show.
Question Time wanted to do this, but we said no.
Did they?
We're
like,
having it.
Well, Paxman, get lost. Yeah. You're not welcome. Okay, is it just me who thinks that farting in front of your other half is pretty much the beginning of the end?
I think it is.
Good.
I think it is. I think it's awful.
Do you?
You see, this is where double standards come in, because I don't care if boys do it, but if I do it, I'm a bit like,
So you've never accidentally...
I've let one out when I've been asleep. Right. You know when you sleep on your boyfriend's out and then you relax, and you just do a little pump, and then you wake up, you wake yourself up and go, oh God, I'm embarrassed.
But ones in your sleep don't count.
Do they not?
No, I don't.
Because sometimes they're like really loud. I've woken myself up. Once.
I mean, that can be adorable, don't you think?
Like
that
a little baby elephant under the bed trumpeting, and heralding its arrival.
Well, that just reminds me of that lovely story. Rochelle Humes was once on the podcast, and she told a story where once her husband Marvin such a horrendous fart. She was asleep. He let out such a disgusting fart. She woke up and thought she'd shat herself. Rochelle, we love you for telling us that story.
Oh, my God,
but
I love that.
Can you imagine?
I mean,
yeah, I've spoken before about, you know, I'm very, very tightly wound. Yeah. I mean, I can't buy loo roll in bigger packs of four.
Right.
Because I just think it's very obviously you're saying to everyone, I shit a lot.
I'm obviously
not surprised very many of you to hear that I'm quite uptight about farting.
Yeah.
And I can never decide this because I come from, without throwing them under the farting bus, I come from quite a flatulent family who are very open about it, very gassy, and also find it quite funny. So I don't know if it's my ultimate, like, in a kind of, you know, saffy, ab-fab kind of rebellion.
Right.
I've gone totally against it. So I now literally don't find it funny.
See, I think farts are hilarious. I think they really
make
me laugh.
Of course they are.
And I love it when my boyfriend farts. It's just really funny because he does. They are just really funny. And my daughter and my son do epic ones, and I'm always giggling. But
How old is this relationship?
It's a year and a half.
Okay, I think you will get to a point where it's.
Do you think
it's
I'll
not
do it?
Adorable?
No.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Oh, I didn't hit him. All
right.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I mean, spot the Australian here. I'm quite,
come on,
quite
Jay.
Happy to
let
buy
rip
the new
quite
role.
Literally.
So,
I don't sort of like.
You don't fart indiscriminately. No, like, you're not doing it
I'm
now.
I'm not sort of like making a point of it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't kind of. It's not like. I always remember that scene in Sex and the City where Sarah Jessica Parker accidentally lets the little one out in front of Big, and then she runs from the house and doesn't speak to him for days.
See, that's extreme.
I think that's extreme. I feel like when you live with somebody as long as my husband and I live together, it's just inescapable that's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, everybody
also,
does it. That's
also,
the thing.
Yeah. And I have to say, for the record, I don't think, because I do think it's awful that, you know, the girls are expected to not be windy. And but
so
boys is
so
funny, women it's unseemly.
No.
I think more girls actually should be open.
I
don't like farting generally. I don't like anyone farting.
Right,
woman, beast, dog.
I just don't do it in front of people.
No
I mean,
thing.
You know, I was in a yoga class the other day and the woman beside me, in quite, you know, in regularly interval spaces, did three
quite loud ones.
I mean,
yoga.
In that context, if I'd done that, I possibly might have had to leave the room and never come back. But then I kind of think, well, good for her. She didn't flinch.
No.
Not
I mean, that's great.
I think if you're going to a yoga class, you're very wind aware anyway, so you need to put measures in place to try and prevent any of that happening.
I like being in public toilets as well, and you can hear people doing it in their little thing. Somebody did it at the Royal Court a couple of weeks when I was there, and I heard her go, she did a little trump, and then she went...
Yeah.
Like, tried to make out she was coughing, and I was like, no, you're not fooling anybody. I know which end that came in.
It's mortifying. I hate anything.
I'm
like
so uptight. If that happens, and I start coughing for them. I'm trying to literally create the
that's
sound. That
brilliant.
That's how tightly wound I am.
That's brilliant. I've done one once in a public toilet, and then I wouldn't come out until I heard everybody go.
That's definitely
yet?
My strategy. Yeah. You know, they're calling you back to your seats from the interval.
Yeah, I'm like, just leave. Leave the building, please.
To be honest, my friends think I'm mental, but I actually think there's an app in somebody creating an app beta that tells you where the best toilets to go to in London, because I hate stable doors.
Don't like, yes.
I like a firm,
closed,
enclosed
space. I don't like under
space.
And over.
I try to avoid going in...
Yeah,
I try to avoid number twos in public anyway. Again, that might shock you.
Yeah.
But when you have to go, if you're caught short, I mean, literally nothing makes me more tense than a sort of cubicle door that has no top and no bottom.
Yeah.
Well, you've just given your multi-million pound business idea
I know.
To the listeners.
I'll be on Dragon's Den in a year.
Yeah.
Full doors.
Literally...
Floor to ceiling.
Pitch that app.
I don't think it needs to at all mean the beginning of the end of the relationship.
No, I don't.
I do feel
Actually,
that...
I don't. I just think it's funny.
I think I'm not really one for... Women should remain mysterious. But I think there's something for a little bit of as much decorum as both of you can possibly muster.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I don't think farting is, in all seriousness. I mean, let's be honest. If it's the right person, I'm sure I would find it funny too.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I think people who poo and pee with the door open, that is the beginning
I
of the
suppose,
end.
Do you?
I don't get that.
Or are you just so relaxed in that person's company? They're like, I can share literally everything with you, including my poo.
No.
Come on.
Come join me.
I'm not ready for that.
No.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. I just, maybe we're wrong. Maybe those less uptight.
I think I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it, but I don't think I'd frown upon somebody else doing it in front of me. I don't care. I don't genuinely.
But you know what
care.
It's like. You've got kids. I mean, there are times
Bags
in your children's
disease.
Lives when you just
Buckets
there's
disease.
Literally no such thing as privacy.
No,
not at all.
Oh, don't. Yeah,
so,
they walk in on me all the time. I'm like, go out.
Yeah.
You have no idea what I'm doing in here.
Yeah.
But now, I think aren't both of you on the verge of having teenagers in your house? Aren't you?
I've got a 30. He's going to be 13 in December.
And
yeah.
13 in July.
Yeah.
And mine's already going, ugh.
And then suddenly it turns, right? They want all their privacy.
Yeah.
Shall we get a flat together?
Let's just do it.
Yeah.
Because I don't care about them, so it's fine. They can just go and
barging,
fend for themselves.
Hormonal farting house.
Have you got a boy?
Girl.
A girl. See, I've got a boy, and it's just... And I've got a 10-year-old girl who's going on 15, who is a nightmare. Who is a complete nightmare.
I love her.
And she's this whirlwind of fire and rage and fun, but crikey, it's like taming a wild stallion. It's crazy.
Well, my daughter has found the Avengers film franchise.
Oh.
And literally talks about nothing else. And I'm kind of, I quite like the Avengers.
Okay, they're okay as films go.
She is like, she's gone down, she could literally host her own nerdy really? Website about the whole thing.
Yeah. And you have to feign interest, don't you, to go, that's brilliant. Yeah. And in the end, you just go, I'm more bored than I love you.
I'm going to name drop. I'm going to a dinner tonight that Benedict Cumberbatch is going to be
at. Oh, will you send him my love?
Oh, yes. Oh, Sherlock, well, yeah. I'm actually, alumni.
I was going to kind of avoid him because I've got a list that trails for pages.
Oh, Doctor Strange.
Doctor Strange questions, yeah. Which I'm not going to ask, even though I've promised I am.
Why don't you just put them in an envelope and say, can you send them back to this address?
I think he would like that, don't you? I think that's the way to endear you.
He would love it.
Get Amanda to write the question.
Yeah, and then he'd say, oh, how's Amanda? Yeah, that's so good. He'd love the questions in an envelope. That you just like had a sort of self-addressed envelope with a
stamp. Yeah, that'll be my opener. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. He's I'm going home to have a dinner for one.
Yeah, so I'm going home to my children, and they're just probably going to fart at me.
So
yeah,
well, you win tonight then.
Yeah,
Alvin.
You win.
You and Benedict.
Benedict farts, and I really will have a story. Right?
Can you imagine? Yeah. he's like a wind tunnel. That man.
You can say, really? Amanda warned me about you.
Yeah, he's very, very dignified.
I don't know where this started or how it's going
to
end.
That's pretty much the story of this podcast. Too. I think most of our guests ask that very same question at the end of every episode. Oh, Amanda, thank you so much for doing the show.
It's been so much fun. I love it.
You're a delight. Why haven't we done this sooner?
I know.
Let's do it again.
You have to be a regular.
I'd love to come and do this again. This has been the best fun. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you. And good luck with Safe. We can't wait to watch it. It sounds awesome. And hopefully, is there a possibility for season two?
No.
Very much one only.
Yeah. They all say that.
They all do. She'll be back here in a year.
Yeah, you're back.
You know, I said there wasn't. There was.
It's unsafe. Good luck with it all, Amanda. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.